Welcome to Get a Grip with Max Homa and Shane Bacon, a production of iHeartRadio. Sports fans, golf fans, or just fans, welcome to Get a Grip with Max Homa and Shane Bacon. Well, listen, we got to talk about an actual, real, legitimate golf event, and that's what we're going to do today. Max, before we get to that, I just want to let people know that if you didn't get a chance to listen to last week's episode, we urge you to go do so. Obviously, there is a lot going on in the country and in the world, and just because we're not going to speak on that stuff this week doesn't mean that's not where our thoughts are. And our thoughts, and I'm speaking for Max and I when I say this, you know, what we said last week is where we stand today. It's where we'll stand next week, and it's where we'll stand next year. And we hope that's the same. And we appreciate everybody that sent in notes saying, you know, that they listened to it and they respected what we had to say. Thank you for sending the notes in. But really, it was more for the people that maybe were having a hard time understanding what was going on. And if we changed a person's mind with what we said, that was what really, that's a positive. And that's, we're all trying to be kind of more understanding of what's going on, maybe more woke, as people say, of what's really going on in the world. And so that's that. Max, this is going to be about golf because you're flying to a golf tournament on Monday.
I know, it feels weird. We're getting into our top five things we're excited to do or feel or whatever when golf comes back. So I'm not going to spoil my list too much, but it's just an odd feeling. I feel like I've been doing the same thing every day over and over again with no end in sight. And the end is finally in sight. There is a light at the end of this tunnel, this no sports tunnel, and I'm stoked. I've never been so excited to get on a plane to go anywhere other than my house. So this is a pretty welcome experience.
I wrote you some poetry for this return. You know, we started this, if you remember, I mean, this was feels like years ago. Remember when we asked people to donate to bank of their choice?
This was your limericks.
You had to shave your arms. How are your arms and legs currently after
they're
the
healthy.
Shave?
They're
are they
healthy,
good? Can
man.
I see? Can I get a little image look here?
They look just like they did before.
Almost all the way back. I mean, this is how long. That is the definition of quarantine right there. Max can shave his arms and
this is an unfair example because these things grow back like at a superhuman rate.
So I wrote some haikus and some limericks, and I wrote some poetry for you, buddy, for this return. Do you want to hear it?
I would love to hear it.
I read it to my wife. I got sympathy chuckles. I didn't really get like a chortle, but I got a chuckle out of her. So that's really the only part. Harlow also smiled at me too. So here you go. This is your poem, our poem from Get a Grip.
You say poem weird.
I know. I can't say it. Will you say it?
Poem.
Poem? Is that right?
You had like an I or a Y in there. Somewhere.
Poem. So say it again.
All right, go ahead. Poem. Just
poem. All right, here we go. Here's my poem. Here we go, Max. 3 months ago, your player's debut was cut short. A bummer for sure, but sports needed to abort. No players, no Masters, no defense of Wells Fargo. We were all stuck at home like Scotty and Harlow. PGA Tour Pro. Max traded JT for me, going from millions in prizes to a $40 Muni. We teed it at Dobson Ranch, Mesa, and a lot at Papago. No handshakes, no rakes, no caddies in tow. Live golf to be watched? No way, not this spring. Regripped was created. Old golf at foot, comma wing. We were forced to be creative on this here podcast. Favorite logos, sports nicknames, athletes from the past, but all that is done. Your job finally back. Media guy Max goes away, as does golf with us hacks. That is it right there for you.
Buddy, you feel like nailed it.
Feel like it kind of just trying to put together everything we went through. And I can only imagine you are so excited, not just for practice rounds, but for Thursday. What have you been doing? I know we've talked a little bit about it every podcast, but over the last couple of weeks, how hard has it been to just go practice and not almost over practice? Because I know you're so pumped up to get back.
First off, great poem. Second off, this proves we I don't think Get a Grip could have lasted one more week without golf. I think this proved that really pushed you to the limit.
All I got, buddy.
Yeah, you know, truly, I've been doing the same thing for, you know, obviously some days I'll play golf instead of practice, but I've been doing the same general thing every day, working as hard as I can. So I don't think that there was ever a point where I thought I'd over practice or under practice. I think I just got in a routine of doing the same thing over and over again. So it's almost like one of those situations where when I get to the tournament, I think I'll actually get to chill out and practice less. We rarely practice, I mean, half as much as I did the past, I mean, probably 4 weeks. So I wasn't too nervous about over practicing or too focused on. I just knew that if I kept doing what I'm doing, it kind of felt a lot like when I really struggled in 2017 and into 2018, how, you know, I had a plan. In essence, obviously the golf was better, but I had a plan. I really grinded my short game because it was quite bad the last year and a half. Really grinded my short game, but I had a plan. I stuck to it without a real like end in sight. I know that there was one here, and obviously they're not a perfect parallel. But yeah, just kind of putting your head down and not thinking about, okay, golf is 30 days away, 29 days away, 27 days away. I think I skipped 28 days away. Maybe that one didn't matter. But I did that. It was just about getting better every single day. And then once Monday, you know, when I leave comes, it comes. And because I wasn't, you know, I think a lot of us weren't sure if we would definitely be playing this. I got a lot more clarity that we were, clarification that we would be like a few weeks ago when everyone's like, yeah, this one's a go. Like these first couple are a go 100%. So then you got a little more excitement, but same thing again, over and over again. So I think, yeah, like the practice part of it, I don't think was too, there wasn't too much thought put into making sure that I practiced the right amount or the perfect amount. It was just keep, you know, getting better. And then it's almost like my prize is when a Tuesday shows up, I finally get to practice with somebody like Joe will be there and we'll like get to hang out and talk and like break up the monotony. I've listened to every podcast on the face of the earth and they all don't have a whole lot to talk about. So it'll be nice to be able to talk to him, you know, and just hang out. And again, we won't practice nearly as much as this, or at least like as diligently as this. We'll get to, you know, go on the golf course, play some holes, screw around, play some games, obviously do our, you know, normal practice stuff, but we don't sit out there for, you know, super long times or even if we were out there that long, it would be a lot more broken up into like, you know, listen to people tell stories or whatever, you know, like not just mind numbing, just ball after ball, stuff like that. I think everybody actually appreciates Danny Lee said it. I think he played like 30 something tournaments a few years ago. And somebody, I think we asked him, why do you play so much golf? And he said, basically like the tournament weeks feel like an off week from how much he practices when he's home. So he's like, I like to be out of the house. So yeah, it'll be like that. And that's kind of how I approached this little like mini off season. It was just to like grind and then, you know, my prize will be in that I get to compete in something, you know, at some day. And finally, like the day is nearly upon us.
Yeah. Can you remember a time where you've been this excited for a golf event? I mean, have you ever been this excited to get back to playing?
You know what's weird is I was thinking about that. I'm not that excited for like this tournament. Like maybe I'm muddying the waters on how that question was asked. I think to go compete, yeah, no, like not even close. I've never been that this excited to like get back to competing. But like just a tournament, like I've been more excited. I was so excited to play like the PGA last year. It was really, really fun. Even like the first playoff event, I felt like I was really excited about. So I guess like to your question, and I apologize for muddying it, but it's just was like I'm still kind of in the in like the fog of, oh my gosh, I guess we really are. I think I'll probably be more hyped Thursday or Wednesday to like get right going. But I don't know. We do this so much. Like that's the other thing. I've played so many golf tournaments in my life, as has anybody on the PGA Tour, that they do kind of run together. Ones you've never been to kind of amp you up a little bit more. But this one, I'm more excited like to go do something, you know, just to like be like me again, to, like literally have a job again. It feels like I haven't really had a real job. I'll get into that in my list, but I feel like I haven't really had much of like a reason to work and like to finally see the, like get to try these things I've worked on in competition will be awesome. But yeah, I mean, just the actual tournament, I love the Charles Schwab tournament. I love Colonial. Like these things are awesome, but I it's weird. I don't feel like super, super excited. I think you also in a weird way get used to being home. And I've spent a ton of time with my wife, Lacey, and my dog. And like, you know, I fell into this routine where, yeah, like I'm stoked to go play golf, but also maybe like it's always, you know, you get the little, what is it? Like the, you're like coming out of REM sleep a little bit.
Yeah.
It's like takes you a minute to wake back up. But that's why I'm stoked to go, because I think once I get there Monday and especially get on the course on Tuesday, I'm going to like the juices will be flowing and all is going to be like back to, you know, at least normal-ish, my day-to-day will be back to normal. So I think that's going to be really cool. And that's what I'm excited about. But yeah, I mean, it's like, I don't know. It's like anything. I think it'll take you once you get there to really realize just how maybe built up excitement you've created with all this time off.
Outside of Joe, who I know you spent some time with last week, who do you think you're most excited to see in human 3D form?
Oh, that's such a good question. I don't know. That's a really, really
like
good
when
question.
Is Tiger playing this week? I have no idea.
No, Tiger's not playing. Basically, everybody else is. It's going to be stacked. I don't know who I'm excited. I mean, I haven't seen Taylor Gooch in forever. I'd love to see him. You know, I've been fortunate to see like Joel Damon here quite a bit. But yeah, someone like a Taylor Gooch is on my list too. Just like seeing some of the guys, Sam Burns, like just the guys I really enjoy hanging out with and just, you know, talking to. And obviously, they don't live in Scottsdale, so I don't really get to see them. So it's like people you catch up with here and there, but it'll be nice to see those people. And then you'll all, you know, there's like just tons of caddies and players that we don't maybe even have each other's phone numbers, but I like just get along with them so well. You enjoy just like, even if I kind of butt my way into a conversation and just stand and listen, you just like enjoy being around them. So I think that'll be cool.
You have like a Hideki, just a huge hug.
I mean, vibe, dude.
Yeah, no, I mean, who doesn't vibe with Hideki? Dude is a stud.
He's awesome.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back.
I think that we, as the on the fan side, have an idea of what you guys are going to go through, but I feel like you have a way better understanding. Can you walk us through the expectations from the week? And this is not golf. So with COVID still being obviously a big issue, what are you guys expected to do? What are the expectations of the players and the caddies throughout the week in terms of staying and testing and all those things? If you could just kind of walk us through it. I know it's not the most exciting thing, but I would like to know, because I've read enough stuff and I feel like it's kind of all over the place.
Yeah. So, well, we already took a test, or I assume it was all these things are highly recommended, except one thing. We have to take a test when we get there if we're going to go into the locker room or do really any main, professional golf activity. But we all took a test, from what I understand, before I did mine. It was like a saliva test. Send it in, got the results. I am cleared to play, which was sweet. And you know, now I when I get on the plane, I'm going to have to take another test. I'm taking one tomorrow, or I guess it would be today, Monday afternoon. And that's going to be the one where if and when I pass, I'll get like the clearance to go on the range, go in the locker room and do basically anything I want at that point. If you fail, I think you, from what I'll understand, you have to quarantine in Dallas for 14 days. I think then you could go. I don't know what would happen after that. I haven't really read it that diligently. But basically, we're all, again, highly recommended to stay at the hotel, same hotel. So we're, you know, from all accounts, everybody I know is staying at the same hotel. Every day we're going to get our temperature taken. I'm not sure if there will be another mini test. I'm not sure how the testing goes, but I'm pretty sure it's just our temperature taken every day. There's a lot of rules and restrictions. We're not supposed to let, caddies touch the golf club. Basically they're touching the bag. We're supposed to clean the ball.
But you take the club out of the bag.
Yeah,
and you
I
clean
guess
the club
these are the things I'm not sure how logistically we're going to, gotcha. I know someone's going to mess up. So I hope that people give a little bit of leniency. I know it's a lot more for public perception than it is for actuality, because if we all took the test and we all tested negative, I don't see how we would be spreading this around amongst people who don't have it. So, but yeah, we're going to follow all those regulations. And then there's a charter taking anybody who wants to from Colonial to the next event in Sea Island. And to get on that plane the day prior, so I'm getting on the one on Monday, I have to take another test Sunday to get cleared to be on that flight Monday. Again, if not, I assume you quarantine. But I seriously think it's going to, I wanted to get there Monday after, like early Monday, because I wanted to get the first test over with. Because then I think it's going to start to feel normal quicker. Like I think it will. No fans. I mean, listen, like I think the no fans is optically going to be weird, but there's no problem with that for me because I know that there's fans. People want to watch golf, or they want to watch sports, for crying out loud. So I think that's going to be normal. The little things here and there about like being careful with the caddies is going to take some getting used to. But again, I don't think that it's going to be a huge, burden on anybody. I mean, of all the things that we could be burdened with, like this is pretty simple. I think it's just going to be one of those things. You just got to get used to their little routine. I'm not sure how the logistics of the golf course work. I know that the range is quite far away from the first tee. So, and we usually take carts. I'm assuming we'll maybe get our own cart, like a more, I don't know, like
maybe you'll have a name on it. What if you maybe your name from the match?
That would be sick. I don't think I get dibs on that one, but I like the
what
thought.
If you're an early check-in guy on Monday, like checking out, they go, well, we got 130 regular cards. We got these four. You want Peyton or you want Tiger?
You get to talk to Charles Barkley on your way to the range. But yeah, so I'm sure there'll be stuff like that. But yeah, we're highly recommended to only eat at the hotel. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be weird. But dude, honestly, like, I don't know. If you complain about it, I don't get it because that we're finally doing something. And if my biggest complaint is that I have to only eat at the same restaurant like 7 days in a row, I've only been eating at my house like 7 days in a row. So how different can it really be? So yeah, like I said, I think, you know, it's pretty simple. I hope people understand that the tour is taking this incredibly seriously. It's not like we're just coming back all willy nilly. Right. Like there's been a lot of thought put into this, been a lot of action put into this, which we will see even more of, on, you know, the golfer and caddy side, as we get there tomorrow and the next day. So I appreciate what they did. I was happy that we all got tested. I haven't really heard of anybody having a positive test yet, which is a good sign. Good to hear. But yeah, obviously it's going to be a shade different, but I mean, you add a couple tests and we play golf. I mean, it's not going to be crazy.
Yeah, you know what I equate probably, I mean, I would say the thing that will feel the strangest for you and for any player is what you said with the caddy player interactions. And, you know, when it's pulling the club or you don't pull the club, or I think they're supposed to disinfect the flags or the rakes and the bunkers if they rake it after. All of this is probably going to feel maybe a little bit more major in terms of on the golf course, like the drop rule. I mean, it took players a while to feel comfortable dropping from their knee as opposed to what we were always used to forever. And you saw it on the golf course. I mean, you saw players almost drop incorrectly for a couple, 2 or 3 months. So I'm sure it's going to just simply be, you know, you're, what are you, 29? I mean, since you've been playing with a caddy, you've been doing the same thing every single time for years and years and years. So you're having to change that up. But again, like you said, these are very, very, very small potatoes in terms of just, like you said, not just the planning from the PGA Tour and everybody that's involved, but you know, just making sure people are safe. And that's the number one goal here. That's the number one rule here. And again, I mean, golf is a sport that's allowed to return because there's just so much, you know, it's basically a singular sport when you're really out there, you know, with your caddy. So it's going to be fun. I'm excited to watch. You know, you said no fans out there. I mean, there's going to be way more people watching this event than there normally would be. So if you're at all worried, where are the 200 people around this green? It's like, no, there are tens of hundreds of thousands of people watching because it's going to be live sports and people are going to be excited for it to be coming back on TV.
Yeah, it's going to be, I think it's going to be cool. It's going to be great for the sport. So many eyeballs. Such a great field, especially this first week. I mean, holy cow, everyone is playing in it. So I think that's going to be great. It's going to be exciting. Everyone's going to be ready to go by Thursday. Honestly, all good, like all good things. I'm stoked that we're getting to do this. I'm stoked that golf is coming back because I do believe that it's a fairly high up there on the safest activities as long as we can get where we need to. And that's why I appreciated the two tests. We take a test before we, you know, travel, then we're going to take another one when we get there. So anybody fails that test, they can't play. So they're really doing a good job of making it a very protected bubble, especially tournament to tournament. I think that I think, you know, I don't have any hangups on the safety of it. I think that they've done a tremendous job. So I'm stoked on that. And yeah, just for the general golf fan, I mean, this is going to be sweet. And this, like I said, I think it's really going to grow some golf popularity. I think you're going to see quite a few more eyeballs on this event, which hopefully will turn into more eyeballs to events when all sports come back.
All right. So just an update on you, Max Homa, 71st in the world currently as we get back to golf. You are 47th on the FedEx Cup list. And you're better at this stuff than me. You're fifth in the Aon Risk Reward Challenge. Were you always number five there before the break?
Yes.
You were five. I felt like you were in the 9 and 10, but
no, I was five. And I kept trickling down. I mean, I kept
making birdies, for goodness sake.
Also, I won in my bio. I haven't shot over par in a tour event like 2.5 months. It's been a while. I made a bogey in months.
Listen, that is the perfect segue to this. Five things I'm excited about with golf returning. And one is those jokes. You know, those are going to float around early in the week. People are like, man, I hadn't played a bad round in months. So I'll start because my number five might be my best one. Five things I'm excited about.
Wait, isn't that supposed to be your first one? Number one? Are we not doing it in order?
No. I'm doing number five, but I'm saying number five might be my best one, even though it's number five on my list. Does that make sense?
No, I would put it number one on your list.
It's not my favorite one, but it might be my best one, you know?
Okay, go for it.
Your
best talent. I think I understand it.
Okay. Number five things that I'm really excited about with golf returning. Number five, I'm just excited for whatever Bryson looks like.
I'm stoked on that too. I want to see him hit a golf ball.
I don't know what he's going to look like. I don't know. I don't know what he's been doing. I don't follow him on social. I took a social media break anyway. I am very excited for Bryson swinging on the range images and videos. I don't think I've ever said that before.
I played with him the first two rounds here last year, and I'm really bummed that it was last year, not this year, because I feel like this year. I was talking to Chez Reavy about this yesterday. I can't wait to see him hit a drive. These things coming off like 200 miles an hour. I've never seen that. So like, this is going to be awesome. He's also going to, I mean, he was big. Like, he is jacked the last time I saw him at a Riviera, I think, or the last time we played together. And I was like, it was impressive. So I'm stoked to see him hit a golf ball. I'm not sure any of us have really seen that up close in our lives. I hope he gets paired with someone who bunts it. So
Hey, listen, Max, you're a PGA Tour star. You're now a media star. You have weight, man. Hey, anybody listening from the Colonial or the PGA Tour? It's Monday. I don't know if you've made the tee times yet. Throw Max in with Bryson.
I'm so down.
He's asking for it.
I need to see what it looks like. I'm going to watch
extra
him on the
range. Extra content next week if you do it. So let's make this happen. All right, what's your number five?
My number five, I already mentioned this, but seeing friends that I'm accustomed, seeing friends that I'm accustomed to hanging around. I like that my cough now, I can tell everyone it definitely isn't what you might think it is. I have proof. So like I said, Taylor, Sam Burns, people who I don't, live near and don't get to see a lot, I get accustomed to hanging out with them. They're my friends. These are like my guys that we will eat tons of meals together. But it's on the road. It's not like at home. You know, Taylor has visited here before. We've gone to his place. Yeah, but it's work friends that, because my work travels, you just get used to seeing them and hanging with them all the time. So it's kind of like the first day back at school after summer. And you're like, ooh, you know, like I finally get to see, you know, blah, blah, blah. And that's what I'm very excited about, getting to just like hang, go to dinner with some guys. I catch up. We're finally not going to have the, you know, everyday conversation of like, so, you know, like, how's your day? It's going to be like, dude, literally, like, what have you been doing? I need to know. Fill me in. This could take at least four dinners.
To get engaged? Are you married? Yeah, like, what do we do? Get a dog? Like, you're a life
exactly. There's a lot of dog. I'm going to be seeing a lot of new pictures of dogs, which I am super stoked on.
You said first day of school. Do you know your first practice run outfit? Have you laid this out yet? Do you?
I didn't do that in school either.
You didn't. You didn't.
No,
you just threw
I wasn't big on that.
Your big white t-shirt and just went.
Yeah, that's probably why I didn't have like girlfriends and stuff, because I wasn't looking all fly. But no, I didn't do that. I don't have one either. I have just enough outfits for the week. I'll figure it out.
So this is a off question, like an offhand question for our top five. But I've seen people ask questions like this before to us. You pack, okay, let's say six outfits, right? Six golf outfits,
yeah.
Six pairs of pants and six shirts.
No, not six pants anymore. Four pants.
Oh, because you get short.
Four pants, four shorts. for the practice round, 6 shirts, a couple pullovers.
Do you know, do you pick them out with the shirt and the pant matching for tournament days?
No, I know when I'm packing certain ones, I'm probably going to line up. I sometimes I'm like, ooh, that looks like a nice Sunday outfit if I'm in the lead.
Have you ever got there and got to Saturday and gone, oh man, neither of these, none of these match?
There's only one. And it was just because the shirt just didn't go with much anything. No offense, Travis Matthew, but it looked better with like a shorts combo than a pants. And I was like, I don't know how to do this one. So sometimes I'll have the issue where like I'll bring like four, you know, 6 shirts, like I said, but I'll bring like the same color scheme in a few of them. And then I'll just keep wearing it and not think it through. And then realize that by Sunday I have like the one shirt and pants combo that doesn't match. Like it doesn't work at all. You know, it'll be like, I mean, blue and blue works, but it just be something that just doesn't fit. I'm like, oh no, like this is going to look terrible. So that's sometimes what you need to be like a little cautious when you pack. But I will say what I do appreciate about Travis Matthew is their pants are all solid colors. It's really hard to screw up solid colored pants with like any kind of shirt because they have a lot of flair on their shirts. But if you have flair on your shirts, you can't have it on your pants unless you're playing in like the 70s. I think they finally decided to stop doing that in the 80s. So no, I don't plan it because I'm a little bit fortunate in the sense that they all kind of go together. Listen, I'm not on TV a lot. I'm not really that concerned about my outfits.
Let me just say this. You're a really kind human being and kind to your fellow PGA Tour players. There are a lot of guys out there that break your outfit rule and still to this day.
My guy, Troy Merritt, the guy wears like checkered pants with striped shirts. He's got to figure it out. He can't do that, man. Troy, you got to just stop with that. I've also not big on black shoes.
Me neither.
A lot of the times it just doesn't really work that well. Now, certain outfits for sure, but a lot of the times I don't think it fits. Like I was one of the few people, although it looked kind of weird when Tiger came back from the back thing in 2013, and was number one in the world and he wore the white Nikes shoes, even with the black and red. I didn't think it looked that bad. Although I will say that it looks better with black. But there's a lot of these outfits out there that I just don't think black shoes look a little like old school at this point. However, I mean, who am I to talk? I wear like the same 4 shades of blue just about every round.
When I close my eyes and think of a PGA Tour, current PGA Tour player wearing black shoes a lot, for whatever reason, Jimmy Walker pops in my head.
Jimmy Walker loves a nice black shoe.
Shiny black shoe.
You know? Yeah, he's got like the nice, the shiny FootJoy, like the wingtip that he just got buffed so they could pop. They could really pop.
What's your number 4 on your list?
My number 4, as I pull up my notes app. Okay, so this one was talked about a little bit earlier in the quarantine because of Xander Schauffele, and I was all in on his side. Having a purpose, and I wrote in parentheses next to this, please clarify so people understand. I am so lucky to play golf. I am also so lucky during this quarantine that although I took a break from my job, I didn't really take a big hit, you know, financially. It's not like my job was completely reliant on an hourly wage. Although I didn't have the opportunity to make more money, I was still, you know, making money from my sponsors. And I didn't, you know, it was actually kind of a nice for me. It was a nice downtime. It would let my body get back to normal, my mind get back to normal. Like I feel very fortunate there. However, when your job essentially is put on complete and utter hold, it felt in a weird way like I just like lost a purpose. And that's why, like I said, what I'm most proud of in this quarantine is I put my head down and just decided my job was to get better. I know that's a very ambiguous and vague way to say it, but that's my job. So my job is to be better by, you know, basically this day, which is, you know, as this gets released Monday, that was the day I want to be better by. So it's weird It's weird working towards something that you don't know when it starts. I think with pretty much most jobs, most people that have a job, you either work for a promotion, like that's your everyday goal. You work for you know, the hours that you'll put in will add up to whatever that would add up monetarily with the you know your price per hour. Those things like give you a purpose. And now I am going to the golf course 2 months ago hitting balls. And it's just a weird feeling because you don't really know why you're doing it, but you also don't you're like, I could just go tomorrow. I mean, is this one day really going to hurt me? And that was just a weird feeling. So it's going to be nice to go back to work with like a purpose. I don't, like I said, I'm super lucky with my job. I wouldn't have traded this for anything, but it was just a weird internal feeling of like every day I woke up and it's just like, I could easily tell myself I could push this to tomorrow because no one's telling me to go to work, but like, I got to tell myself to go to work. And it was just like a weird battle. So now it's obviously the opposite. Every day I'm going to be going to work with, Joe, and then we're going to have a plan and it's just going to be a little bit easier to do. And that was, like I said, that's on my list just because, it's a very specific, issue to exactly like kind of how I was like felt. And I think a lot of people would feel it's like the same feeling you would get if you got fired from something and you weren't sure what to do next and you decided to take like a little 1 week siesta. It's like, you know, you I think people enjoy working because it gives you a little bit of like a reason to, you know, get up and turn your brain on every day.
Yeah, no, I mean, I love that. And I was going to follow up and ask you, is it going to be important for you to kind of keep that perspective throughout? I mean, how many weeks in a row are you playing? Five?
I'm going to play three. No, I'm just going to do three.
You're doing three and then you're taking, is it a week off?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, how important is it for you to kind of maintain that perspective throughout the rest of this year? Because, you know, it's easy. I mean, it's easy to get on Saturday and, you know, maybe you don't play great on the front nine and it's, you know, you're a little frustrated with yourself. How important is it for you to kind of keep that perspective of, I'm getting to do what I want to do, what I love to do, what I'm, you know, what makes me my living. It's important almost to keep that mindset over the frustrations that come at times with professional golf.
Yeah, that's an awesome question. I mean, I think that the best part about this break probably is that we are all going to appreciate so much more that we get to do, like we get to have this awesome job and we just appreciate golf in general more and the competition of it. So many times I'm like, oh man, my job's so awesome. I get to play golf every day. And then when I go play golf at home, I still love it, but it's not the same. It's not the same as like competing and battling with like the best players in the world. However, I have been someone who has always really appreciated, like I love play golf, but I'm still going to get frustrated because that's also what I appreciate. I appreciate that I could bang my head against the wall at times and grind my way to a 73 and want to quit. But then the next day have some new idea in my head about how to fix my golf swing. And now I'm like, I'm going to shoot a 61 today. You know, like that's another part that I like. So I don't think that I'm not going to get frustrated, but I think that maybe this will shed a little more light on like how much, you know, we all love and me personally, how much I love playing in tournaments. I will, this is where it really will be. I will not be complaining about traveling because I normally do. I can't stand it. And I will not be. I am stoked to go do something. I don't care if I have to, you know, I have to wear a mask for 4 hours. I don't care. Like none of, you could do anything to me tomorrow. I'm going to be in a very good mood to be going out to doing something. So that'll be where it is. But I'm still going to get frustrated. I'm sure within nine holes, I'm
of course.
Might be hating golf.
I'm not expecting that. Listen, yeah. I'm never expecting that. I mean, I totally understand. I'm just saying, you know, it's, I do feel like you're probably going to see a lot more of that early on. And I hope that stays around
among
the tour, is that, you know, getting to be kind of the first sport back, you know, golf returning on this huge stage and you get a chance to showcase, you get a chance to show off. I mean, those are fun things to do, but yeah, you're going to get to the hotel on Monday. They're going, hey, listen, we only have two twins. Like, I'm good. I'll good. Take whatever you got.
Whatever you need. Just give me a bunk. I got roll it. Away. what's your number? What are we on?
Number
are you on
four. So this is obviously new to what we're going to hear, what we're going to read. Really excited about it. It falls a little on other sports, so we don't get this much in golf. We're going to get a lot of that how they stayed in shape during the quarantine chatter. It's going to be unbelievable. There are going to be, you know, they're going to have pieces on the telecast. There's going to be stories written. You know, this is their Peloton scores. All of those are going to make me chuckle a lot. So I'm excited for the how they stayed in shape. And I'm also really excited about the you won't believe what type of shape X is in right now. You know, that's going to be great.
He could be a linebacker. That's always my favorite. Like, have you seen a linebacker? Like a real one? No, thank you. I got no business coming over the middle against anybody in the NFL.
Yeah, I don't remember who was saying it. I was listening to a podcast. They were talking about Tiger, Phil, Peyton, Brady, and they were like, did you look at when Tiger and Phil were standing next to Tom Brady and Peyton Manning? You know, those guys are like 6'5".
These are the guys that have to wear a red jersey to protect them. Like, imagine what the other guys look like.
So that's my number four. I'll snake
What's
in
your
number,
three?
Number three, because I do this all the time, one of my favorite things to do on Twitter because it really gets people fired up. Well, way too early, 59 watches.
I've missed
them. Missed doing it myself. Love doing it. We'll do it at least once this week.
This is a good week for par 70.
You make two or three birdies in any round, Max, I am putting you on 59 Watch Online. I know you won't know that, but just know that I will be doing that on Twitter.
I'll text you. We'll set this up. I'll text you Thursday morning or afternoon whenever I'm, and I'll say, I just had a good warm up. And then okay. I want you to text, tweet it out a screenshot, and then say, Max is officially on 59
Watch. Oh, wait. So a pre-round 59
Pre-round 59 Watch. Now I mean, let's make it as early as Max just had the best eggs of his life. 59 Watch.
Hey, you know what? Can't get earlier than right now. Can we just put you on 59 Watch for the week?
You know what? I'm on 59 Watch at this moment.
Hashtag
like I said, I haven't made a bogey in 2.5 months on the PGA
Should I
Tour.
Tweet it out right now and people be really confused?
They'll be a little confused. They'll be Sunday confusing afternoon. When they hear this. My number three is simple. Tapping in. Can't wait to tap in. Everyone loves a good tap in. Everyone loves a good tap in. It makes you feel good. Ball pretty much always goes in the hole, all right in the middle most of the time. Stepping over somebody's line to do it, even though sometimes you step. That's another thing. One of my pet peeves. You'll like point to the line and be like, is your line right here? And the guy will be like, yeah, that's right there. And then you'll step like 4 feet over it. Like if you're going to step like that, do you think the guy misread it by 3 feet? So I'm stoked to do that. Tapping in is just like a pastime I've become way too accustomed to. And that leads me to number two, another pastime I've become way too accustomed to. And I think this is close to being number one, putting without the damn pin in. I cannot wait to watch the ball go into the hole. I can't wait.
Are y'all going to have noodles in the hole on the tour?
I don't think so. I think we got to get to go back to good old golf. It's going to be awesome. I don't like putting from 3 feet with the flag in. Makes the hole look smaller. I'm ready to make it look like a bucket again. Take that pin on out. That is high up there on my most anticipated things we will get to do when we come back.
That's a great one. I had a question for the tap in though, and I'm going to set a number. I'm going to set it at over under 3.5 for the week. How many times will you accidentally tip your cap or wave to the non-existent crowd?
Well, I'm different there. I have to remind myself to do that.
Okay.
So I think you'll see a little bit of that. I hope we see another Jordan Spieth where he tipped his beanie, but he didn't have the lid on. Yes. He looked around everywhere like I'm an idiot. I hope we see something like that where somebody does tip their cap to nobody. We're just gonna be a lot of sarcastic waves. Like, thank you.
Gotcha.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Yeah. Oh no, I'll be over there later. I'm not signing right now. Like there's going to be a lot of that. So I'm looking forward to that joke officially not being funny anymore in like 3 hours.
That'll be up there with how they stayed in shape.
I wish we could see a Tiger just mega fist bump on 18 to win with no noise. Like, you can actually hear whoever he just beats heart like break a little bit. Like that's what I wanted. That
the
would
mics
be so
are
awesome.
Pick up like an, oh shit. When he makes
yeah, exactly. This like, oh, guy man, again.
Sound of the game. Here we are again.
So that would be awesome.
My number two is, it's kind of a universal thing, but we've missed it, is coffee golf. I mean, in coffee golf, we like to say is European Tour. I think coffee golf, especially being West Coast, is that early PGA Tour Live stuff on Thursday, Friday when you can turn it on. I mean, sometimes it starts at 6 a.m. here on PGA Tour Live. I'm just excited about waking up in the morning, grabbing my son, going out to the couch, bottle in hand, ready to get the day going, and flipping live golf on in the morning. That is, I can't tell you how fired I fired.
What do
I
you call coffee golf for someone like me who doesn't drink coffee?
Well, you're a weirdo, first of all, because you don't drink coffee. But
wow.
I would say
those are some words.
I would say, I mean, what do you do in the morning? Like, what do you do in the morning to get
I'll
yourself
do oatmeal.
Going?
I don't know. I just wake up and piss excellence. What's that for?
You're just good to go?
Yeah, dude. I wake up excited for my journey of the day.
Like toothbrush golf? I don't know. Like, what
that's
like,
disgusting.
I'm trying to
I would
think
call
of
oatmeal
things.
Golf because I usually eat oatmeal in the morning.
I like oatmeal golf a lot. I'm in
all
on
right.
that.
So all right,
oatmeal,
cool.
Oatmeal every morning, you'd say?
Most mornings at home.
Have we
not so
we
much
haven't
on the road.
Discussed this? Have you hopped back into the pescatarian world?
I'm going to hop into it tomorrow. This will be my last, for the most part, my last meat-based meal for a little bit. I'm going to see how... Dallas is not easy, guys, if you didn't know. There's quite a few meat lovers out there. But I'm going to see what I could do. I'm, you know, I found my balance. I know that I can underdo it, or I can overdo it a little bit with the meat. So I'm going to limit it. I don't think it'll be go like full bore, but I am planning on cutting back quite a bit. Not that I eat a ton, but I eat enough where I felt a real difference. I felt foggier this quarantine once I start eating meat. So I'm curious to see if I can find a balance, because it is hard to travel and not eat meat. Like, it's not like everywhere. Again, like Dallas, it was easy on the West Coast. California has a lot of great seafood. It's not as easy in other states. So we'll see how it goes. But I mean, I'm going to I plan on kind of tapering off of it a little bit and limiting it, because I thought that it was really good for my brain. I really found it helpful. And like I said, I haven't made a bogey in so long. I got to stay on my trend on tour once I come back.
You know what? I didn't realize you never drank coffee.
Man. I've probably in my life had ordered three coffees to try, and I've never made it past like I finished one time with Amanda Balionis, and we were in Vegas, and we went from our, she always MCs our MGM outing, and we went from there and went out to like the casino, and I was so tired, and she's like, you need a coffee. And I was like, yo, I do not drink this. Like, this stuff is gross. She goes, and I finished one coffee and was jacked up. But that's the only time I finished one. Joe had me try one, 'cause he drinks a super large vanilla latte or something every single morning. And he never gets it. He never drinks past a third of it. I've never seen him finish a third of it. Unless he's hungover. I think that's his rule or something like that. And, so I one day I decided in San Antonio, I was going to try it, and I got it. And I just like said, I need more cream. I need more cream. And by the end, it just looked like milk. And then I drank like three sips and bailed. So I'm just not, I don't like it, man. I don't like the taste of it. I don't like the idea that this is what I need to wake up in the morning. I'm not a coffee guy.
Yeah, just give me my oatmeal and I'll be good.
Give me my oatmeal, I'll be jacked up. What's your number one, Shane?
My number one is appropriate to the podcast. Max Homa getting to do his job again.
Dude, that's so nice of you.
I am. Listen, I've said this on this podcast before. Never in my life have I checked on somebody scoring on a Thursday and Friday. And I would check. I rarely would check the PGA Tour app. Now I would check it all the time. It was always fun to see when you fired a good round. It was always fun to see you maybe don't play your best on Thursday and then bounce back on Friday or Saturday. I'm just excited. That you're excited. I'm excited to see you. You had a great year.
I need to change my number one.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? Like you are having a great year. I know that in the big scheme of things, there are way more important things in this world going on. But I know personally you were bummed out about the quarantine. I know, as you should be. And personally, you were bummed out that all of the things that I mentioned in that poem were off check. You know, you didn't get a chance to go to Augusta. You didn't get a chance to go to defend at the Wells Fargo. And you're not going to get a chance to at the golf course next year. So I know there were a lot of things that were bumming you out. And I could sense it and feel it at times. I mean, again, as I would be the exact way, I'd probably been way worse personally. But I'm just fired up that you're going to get a chance to get back out there and play, because I know you believed this was kind of your year and you were making a statement as we got into the players. And I just feel like there's a chance that statement's going to continue. And I know that's what we're looking forward to on this podcast. And I'm sure people listening are looking forward to it as well.
Thanks, Shane. I'm going to change by, this will be 1B. I'm excited for everyone to get to watch golf. I really am.
I thought you were going to say you.
I was going to say you, and I decided that was even corny for me.
I thought you were going to say you're excited to watch, like, everybody's
me play golf. I'm stoked everyone gets to see me again. I mean, I've become a staple on the PGA Tour. I mean, people crave some Max Homa golf. No, definitely not that. I'm excited for people. Like, I've been craving golf or sports just as much as anybody. Obviously not the golf. Watching the golf stuff, I've craved playing it. It's cool that people are going to get to like watch a sport, be entertained Thursday through Sunday. My number one, where I'm not pandering to the audience, was the competition of nerves and nerves. I'm stoked to be nervous again. I'm stoked to compete. I'm stoked to, and to your exact point, you led it in perfectly. A lot of people this off season and in the trillion other podcasts I've done and interviews, it's like, you were playing so well, man. You were on such a heater. Like, must suck that you got to stop. I can't wait to prove to everybody that that's not what it is. It wasn't a heater. I'm good at golf.
Who you are
again? Yeah, like I don't suck like I did 3 years ago. So that's what I'm excited to do. I'm excited to get back with the blood rushing through my body and see how I handle it. I'm excited just to like grind out a round and turn, you know, I texted Joe. I said, I can't wait to turn a 72 into a 70. Like that's the stuff that like gets us going and it makes us love what we do. So I'm very, very much amped to like get back to that. Whereas, you know, when you're home, it's easy. Like you have a bad day. It's like, oh, I had a bad day, whatever. Like now I want to have a bad day. I want to go back to the hotel and be like, come on. Like, you know, you got to whatever, like analyze what can you do better? I want all that back. And that's what we're getting next week. Hopefully I have a, you know, a perfect week, which obviously never happens, especially with me, but I'm looking forward to all those things as far as the competition goes, as I think everyone is. I think you could only play so many, you know, games at home with your buddies before you're like, all right, like I can't feel the same I feel when I'm playing against an entire PGA Tour field at a PGA Tour event with the legacy that goes with winning the tournament, or even just like I said before, going from 26th to 23rd. Like it's just a rush, and I can't wait for that.
We're gonna take a quick break and be right back.
I was going to ask you a question, and then I have a reader question, and then you've got something you're going to dive into. First question is, since you'll be in your hotel room so much after the rounds, what do you think is going to be your number one tinkering thing in the hotel room? Is it going to be putting into cups on the ground? Will you look in the mirror in your hotel room at your swing? What's your go-to hotel room golf tinkering thing?
That's a good question. I mean, I usually just get my Pels putting thing out, the triangle with the two marbles, and I just putt through those. Michael Kim used to do that in college all the time. So I still do that because that's a good feedback one. You could putt without having to be like too like mechanical and just putt it straight. I mean, every putt technically you got to get online. So that teaches you how to do that pretty easy. That's been my tinkering one. Usually we don't have our golf bag with us in the hotel room. So it's usually at the golf course. So yeah, I don't know if we're actually allowed to this time. So maybe I will be tinkering. I'm not particularly sure. I guess we'll find out quite soon. But yeah, that's usually been like my go-to. I'm stuck in the hotel room. What am I going to do? You know, little fidgety thing that I'll get into when I'm wandering down the rabbit hole that is putting.
Do you have, or have you, I do this when I travel for the summer when we have, you know, a normal USGA season. I have series that I put aside without the wife that I know maybe she's not going to want to care about, you know, on the road series. My whole plan this summer was to run through Sopranos. I've never watched it before. Obviously, that's been put on hiatus. Do you have anything you're excited to dive into? Because again, you're going to be in the room, I feel like, a decent amount. Is there any series you're already into or you're going to get into?
Dude, I thought you already watched The Sopranos. You may now be invited to, I started a book club with DJ Pyowski and Big Randy for The Sopranos. None of us have ever watched it. And we're going to watch like two episodes a week through Tuesday. I thought you already saw it because I thought us three were the only people that had never seen The Sopranos.
I've never seen it.
So we're going to start like the book club. But it's because I think it's starting this Tuesday, man. You got to watch two episodes a week for Tuesday. I haven't laid out the exact rules. I'd rather no one go farther than that because I want people to like be able to like talk about it. Like we actually don't know what's going to happen, which right. I obviously truly don't. I assumed everyone watched this show. I think a lot of people say they like The Sopranos, never saw The Sopranos.
No.
Yeah. So we'll get into it.
Add me into the text chain. I need to get involved.
Yeah, so that's my series. People. I'm stoked. It's going to make me do it slowly too. Cause I usually, you know, I'm the guy, if it's Monday night at a tournament, I'll watch till 4 a.m. right, if I get into it because I don't have to do anything really that much the next day. So I'm doing that. I'm bringing my PlayStation, I think, so I can better at this stupid freaking game, which I'm excited about because now my wife can't yell at me and tell me I need to get the hell off of my PlayStation.
Are you going to continue with this? Is this a mustache? I'm just trying to, it's pretty good. It's pretty thick.
It's nice, man.
Is the stash going to stay or is this just a
pre-tournament? I like it a lot. I have a mini mullet. She doesn't mind it.
Really?
And she knows I'm about to leave. So
it's a good point.
Bad strategy. I think I'm going to stick with the mustache for at least like a week. I always do this. I'm a flip flopper when it comes to my entire facial hair situation. I love it right now. I could in an hour I might hate it and shave it. So it's really difficult to.
I feel
to
like
know.
I'm the same. I'm the same way with facial. I had this whole theory. I'm going to keep a beard for 8 months, and then about 3 weeks in, I'm like, I'm going to cut it. All right, I had a question on Instagram. I thought this was a great question. We're not doing reader questions, but this was just one I wanted to bring up to you because I want to hear you. I'm actually really interested in your answer here. Bobby on Instagram asked if Shane hit all your tee shots in attorney, do you think you'd make the cut?
At Colonial, I think I could. That's a good question. On par threes as well?
Yeah, every tee shot.
This would be hard. I've had practice driving it worse than just about anybody that listens to this. So I would give myself a 40% chance of making the cut.
Nice. Okay. That's what they should. They should be. Listen, hey, PGA Tour, we already asked you one thing about pairing.
Yeah, come on, give us something else.
Bryson. If
give us one of two.
If you're trying to throw out an idea, how about a tournament where the PGA Tour bro invites a random person to hit all their tee shots and see who plays the best. Let's see who's the best scrambler. All right, you've got something that's way less dumb than what I just said. Let's hear it.
All right, so last week I asked you guys to send me some cool, like, personal best golf stories. As we had mentioned, Steve Yef Baby, breaking his personal best. I wanted to hear other fun stories, whether your personal best prior was 70, 80, 90, or even, 100, whatever it was. I wanted to hear how it went down. So I got a lot of really, really cool responses. This one was from Harry Bolton. He said, listen to episode 20 today. I was, and it was great timing because I just, shot my personal best 62, which is wild. He did not say the par, and I grew up on a par 61. So Harry, is either bragging a little bit or, hiding what that shot one was. Buried a sliding 15 footer on the last to do it as well. So that was, obviously just like it just feels good. And like I said, in all this, everything just feels great to have your personal best is the beauty of golf. Like I said before, I have nerves and competition have become like a little numb to me when I'm home where, when I get on the road, I have my personal best and stuff. And it's cool that everybody has that. Here's from Adam Carlson Willis. Last two holes were par in a good old Florida summer downpour. I was feeling like I'm skipping that part. It wasn't super appropriate. Something about, oh, never mind. It's from the, oh, I was feeling like the priest in Caddyshack. That was going to be like some sort of bad joke. I had good loud rat farts ready to yell. 18th hole, have to fly a 200-yard lake with the tee shot. I flare it right into some trees, scared as shit. I have 220 left in the par four. I hit a hybrid under the trees, leaving 65 yards, wedge to 7 feet, uphill left edge putt, Drano. The reason
Tom
I picked this
style.
One. Exactly. The reason I picked this one is because then he followed up with, I shot a depressing 98 at that course 3 rounds prior.
And what was like the number this time?
It was, he didn't tell me. Interesting.
Maybe it was 97?
79? 96? I feel like I already saw that one. Sorry. These were hard for me to keep track of. There was a lot going on this week on the internet.
It's okay.
Josh Clark, some time ago, in parentheses, I first broke 80 in my home high school tourney, had the shanks on the range, sat in my car devastated to go duff it around my home track, sketchy plus 5 through 4 start, then proceeded to play the best, most grindy round of my life to post 79. Josh Clark, you are my hero. I like to sit in the car for a minute,
wait,
just like compose yourself.
He went to the range to warm up and then went and sat in his car. That's unbelievable.
I love that.
Such a golfer thing to do.
Sam Decca at the real Sam Decca. Is there
not
a fake
Decker?
Sam Decca? I don't think anybody's stealing here.
Not
your
the guy that broke my
here.
Heart. The yeah. Lead
dribbled off his face. I broke 80 for the first time a few months ago. I had a 50 foot downhill putt on 18. Only needed the par, drained the birdie for 78. This was also about 2 weeks after my son was born, and I was working on about 4 hours of accumulated sleep. # my wife is a saint. I'm going to point out two things. First, what I loved about this, maybe the lack of sleep turned your brain off from getting in your way. Second off, you kind of screwed yourself by making that putt because now your personal best is 78 and not 79. So to get to your next one's going to be a lot more work, but
great
proud of you. That was awesome. 50 footer, man. That's no joke. This one from Tony Newell. I broke 80 for the first time a few months ago. I shot 77 and doubled 2 of the last 3 holes. Recently, I've been breaking 80 on the regular. Some even say it was because I started listening to the Get a Grip podcast.
Yes.
Some are saying that, Tony. We talked on Twitter. Some are saying this. At least 2 of us are saying this. But yeah, I like this. I like this. Talk about a mega blackout round. The guy is inside his number by like 7 and just goes double-double or double-par-double. I love that. Just a mini choke, but still wins. It's like when you got like the 8 shot. I mean, one story people know about Tiger. Tiger won the national championship at the Honors Course in Tennessee, and he shot 80 in the final round, but he had such a big lead that it didn't matter. But I mean, it's not a very good well-played round.
Tiger-esque,
not Tiger-esque. This is from Sam Prober. Sam Decca, the real Sam Decca. This one, maybe not the real Sam Prober, not sure. Broke 80 with a 79 for the first time recently, plus 2 through 12. So straight up balling. Bogey 13 through 70. The wheels are falling off, Sam. They have rolled away. You are just screeching toward 18.
Bogeyed 13 through 17?
Through 17. Oh, needed a 5 on the par 3, 18th. Pulled 8 iron left, bounced away from the green, bladed the lob shot over the green, lob shot to 8 feet, ? Doesn't even know how far 8 feet was, probably felt like 8, might have been 3. Burn edge for a 4, tap in for 79. Any tips on not folding down the stretch? No, you know, there's tips, but I feel like you're still in not folding down the stretch 101. I feel like I got to go back a few levels to remember how not to bogey all of them coming in.
So he bogeyed 13 through 17 and then I'm assuming a fairly easy par 5 finish and makes 5.
Par 3 and made 5.
Okay.
And all he needed was the 5. This one from Zach Carey. Speaking of Zach works. If you're listening to this, I hate you, man. He's the one who made that
stupid
video. I knew that this was going to backfire on me.
You know, I got like 10 different ones.
Zach, you're dead to me.
Just a applause to everybody that listens, that's creative and has talent.
You guys are so impressive.
They were so good. Zach had the golf ball, and it was a Titleist. Photoshopped on the Happy Gilmore flag stick. I mean, that is next level stuff.
I mean, I appreciate your effort and your work, but I also don't like you very much. This one from Zach Carey, Zach Attack 1110. My PR round was a 74, and I actually made about a 20-foot birdie to beat the previous record by 2. But the funny part is, the round the previous day, all I had to do was bogey for the record. I like how he keeps calling it a record. It's not a record, man. I mean, we call it PR. I understand that's but it's not a record. I mean, you're not in any book anywhere. Nobody's writing about this except you, Zach.
In 2015, Zach shot 74 at Willowberry Country Club.
But the funny part is, the round the previous day, all I had to do was bogey for the record, and I jacked 2 OB on a par 5 and left not breaking 80. Which is, I think that's a funny, I like that one made me laugh.
You know what would be a good fake thing to do for the internet, since we're talking about being creative, is if we came up with like 30 for 30 VO voiceovers.
What if I told you things? Zach, the day before he broke his record, sniped 2 out of bounds on the same hole to not even break 80.
A 4-part series.
4-part series. He will break it down. This one from Omar. Recently broke
Andrew?
Omar, not like your poem thing. Recently broken PR, standing on 17T at plus 2, was graced by the company. You guys can realize pretty quick why I picked this one. Was graced by the company of Birdie, the golden retriever, who decided that my teed up ball was hers. Figured it was good luck. Turns out it was a warning. Bogey, bogey, finished to shoot 76. I mean, it's still a great day for you. You got to meet a new dog. So, you know what? That's better than shooting under par. You got to hang out with a new dog who was so enthralled with your golf, she wanted you to let her keep the golf ball.
The true PR in that story is meeting the dog. That's so, the real personal record.
I saved this one for, this is my favorite. No offense.
God, I'm just getting a shot of your mullet right now. That thing,
it's pretty good, huh?
The first time you've turned sideways. It's strong. It is gnarly.
Here, I'll let you look at me profile on this one.
I mean, it is thick.
It's thick. I'm going to keep the sides short too. Ooh, All right. This one's from Alex at Potalk11 on Instagram. PR : Seaview Bay Course / LPGA ShopRite Classic Course (parentheses done) period. 1 over on the 18th tee. Par 5. Remember that. Par 5. Only 501, but into a 10 mile per hour wind. Hit the best drive of the day, about 300, stuck a 5-iron to about 10 feet, and drained the birdie putt for even par. Stay safe.
Eagle,
thank you, Alex. Oh, yeah. Right, Alex? Is that why I picked this? Wow. Yes, it is. Yeah, we're so serious about every part of this thing, and you should have made an eagle. So either shot 1 under or it's a par 4. That is, and I thought about it. I was like, maybe it's a typo, but he said par 5, only 501. There's never been a par 4 that was only 501. that you either lied or you messed up somewhere. I think, I hope that you actually shot one under, bud. Like you made an eagle on the last one over to one under. You went from over to under, which is quite the leap. But I had to add it because this was written very professionally. Like it was like on a resume.
Very
like
proud.
Become a, yeah. If you could write a resume that could get you on like a tour somewhere, like this is how it was written. Yet one part was glaringly, obviously wrong.
and listen, if it's an eagle or a birdie, for goodness
now,
sake.
The only,
if you know all this info,
I hope that he omitted the completely fatted second shot. So the 5-iron was his actual third to 10 feet. I hope he omitted like the horrendous shot. Yeah, maybe he topped it or whiffed it the first one. But either way, Alex, I'm just screwing with you. But that one made me laugh.
Alex kind of goes to your thoughts on the Rosillo pod when you're talking about driving distance. He goes yeah. into a 10 mile an hour wind. I hit it about 300.
About 300-ish.
And also, I mean, golfers are amazing. The fact that every golfer has these types of stories, you know, I know exactly.
20 more.
Oh, I'm sure.
I'm so stoked that I got all these. They all made me smile. But you're right. Golfers are crazy, man. We have such, it goes to the swing roasting thing. Take all the jokes or whatever aside. Look at how many people video their swing. Look how many people love golf, like love their golf swing. It's so cool. Look how many people have these stories of like they can remember to the yard how what they had, how the shot went. I mean, they don't always remember the par, but it's irrelevant. But I mean, it's so cool.
Imagine making an eagle to shoot the best round of your life and you go, hey, it was maybe a bird. That's like, hey, what color tie did you wear at your own wedding? And you're like, I don't know. It might have been black or red or blue. I'm not really sure.
Shane, what is your best round ever? And do you remember your final hole?
I shot 62 once. I made par on the last hole. This is not very exciting.
What was your previous best before that?
65. I mean, it
oh,
was,
so you were wait. So that yeah, that's why I wasn't like a sweaty, you know, final hole because you. I mean, obviously, you still want to shoot 62 instead of 63, but you couldn't. You needed to shoot 64.
Right, didn't. Right. Yeah, yeah. I needed a clip about. I actually remember that day. I'm sure you've had this a lot in your life, but I was on 18. I birdied 17. I was on 18, and I said, I bet if I birdie this, it'll be the course record. I bet if Ooh. I shoot 61. And I hit a pretty good tee shot, a pretty good second shot, had like 30 feet. I hit a decent putt, didn't go in. And I pulled up in the cart and I asked the guy, Ryan, I go, hey, what's the course record? And he goes, 61. And I went, and I just kind of knew it. Ocotillo, or as our friend Nick Woodruff calls it, Ocotillo.
Ocotillo.
He says it's Ocotillo. I don't know. I'm sure he's correct. He worked at the golf course.
So I'm listening to him because you say poem.
I also can't really say pillow.
Hello, oh yeah, we talked about Pello,
friends. How you doing? This has been great. I'm so excited for golf. I'm excited.
Next week
for you.
We're talking about golf, Shane.
I mean, I've loved trying to be creative with you. I've appreciated the effort you've put in on the nicknames and our favorite athletes ever and everything we've done because we've done a lot. And 95% of it has been you bringing up the idea and we trying to execute it and have a little fun. You were all in on Regripped. You know, we did all that series. We had Justin Rose and Morgan Pressel. I mean, we had all these people join us on Regripped. You know, Buddy Marucci, Steve Scott, Michael Kim joined us to kind of walk us through old golf events. But man, I am ready for some live stuff that I don't know. Man, I was laughing. I was thinking this morning, the PGA Tour should maybe on Thursday just air it like 4 hours later, just to keep, like to get us back into it. You know, like, hey, this happened today, but we don't want to show it to you live. Like that'll be too much of a rush. So we're going to give you like a 2-hour buffer, then 1 hour of delay, and then we'll get into live maybe on Saturday. But I'm fired up. I don't know what the TV schedule is looking like. I don't know who you're playing with. I'm hoping. Dude, if it's Bryson, do you understand what the text is going to look like I'm going to send you if I get something that says you're playing with Bryson? I am going to be so fired up.
Every drive I hit, I'm going to have to say, he caught off the heel again.
Real toe-y
it's
there.
It's going to be embarrassing. 55 yards behind the guy. He already hit it farther than me. Now it's just like another zip code.
What if you just absolutely pummel one and you know he's going to get it? Do you still say you didn't get it all?
No, good. I learned this from Michael Kibb. I really take pride in being like 30 yards behind somebody and beating them. So like, I'll tell him I smashed that. And then he'll be like, do his little Hulk swing or whatever. And he'll be, and like mash it out there like 50 by me. And I'll be like, man, I couldn't hit it any better. And then he'll tell me he thinned it a little bit or whatever it is. And then I'll get up there and hopefully beat him. So that's my goal. That's how it's going in my head. It's very likely that it could go a completely different way. The one way we do know it's going to go, he's going to hit it a lot farther than me if we do play
together. Would you do me a favor? If you're playing with Bryson, you've seen Mean Girls before. You know how Lindsay Lohan's character makes the Regina girl eat the candy bar thing?
Yeah.
Good and you actually gain weight. Can you try to, with Joe, if you get paired with Bryson, make up a non-existent protein, like make up some like crocodile protein or something? Be like, man, like just keep talking to Joe about it during the round.
See
when you know
bites.
Bryson's by you.
Be the like, thing is, he probably knows all about this.
Well, I understand like, that, but I feel like if you said to Bryson, like, hey, man, you know, like, have you tried this crocodile, you know, rattlesnake protein? He'd be like, yeah, man, I've been taking it for years. And just see if you see. And then the next day he comes, I looked it up online. There's no such thing as that. And just see if you can kind of sneak into his brain a little bit, get in his kitchen.
I hope people realize that when we come back and you do get to watch him send it, like, people who hit it that far don't hit it that straight, and he will. So, like, I hope people appreciate it. I feel like the thing that gets completely left off when talking about Bryson, everyone, you know, I joke about it with him, like about his new fitness thing or, well, you know, him being like the scientist. All these things aside, like Albert Einstein didn't hit a golf ball very well. Like, it's not like just because you figure out the physics, you figured out how to hit a golf ball. Like, he's really good at it, like really, really good. So I want to see him hit these drivers 400 yards on a string. And then I hope people appreciate that, like, that is unheard of to hit it that straight and that far. So I that's why I'm so excited about it. I've never seen somebody hit a golf ball. I've seen Jamie Sedlowski at like a few golf balls, but I've never seen anybody on the, you know, in a PGA Tour event, I guess, while I was playing with him, hit it that far. So I'm excited to see what it looks like, but I'm really excited to see how he actually still hits it straight. Cause I know that he's definitely making sure that he's still going to be in the fairway for the most part or within the tree lines, or else, I mean, that would be psycho. Cause you'd have 30 yards into every hole from the trees, which is like even harder than having 200 from the trees. So I'm stoked to see how far it goes. Cause a lot, like I said, when I played practice on them at Riviera, that ball was so freaking far off the tee every time he hit it. I could not believe it.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back.
The Bryson thing, I mean, we laugh at Bryson. Everybody gets a good chuckle out of Bryson. But I think there is a level of appreciation for somebody. I've said this about Phil forever. Is there is no fear in Phil Mickelson to try things out in tournaments. And I feel like there are probably a lot of professionals that maybe don't want to look silly or don't want to chip one-handed, you know, or don't want to putt left-handed if they're a right-handed player because it looks so different. And these guys have never been scared to look a little bit different on the golf course if it potentially works. And I think the point you made is a very heavy one here in this space. They're really good at what they do. So if they use one-length irons, they're still unbelievable with full-length irons. They just decided this is the best thing for them.
Correct.
And they're still going to do a great thing with it. So, Max, have a great week. Play well.
Can I add one thing before we leave? I literally just got a message from my buddy Keegan Hayes. He's just getting into golf. Sent me a swing video, and he said, I can't drive for shit. I got my 8-iron, 9-iron, and wedge down. Oh, and also the 6.
Seven. The struggle.
Only new golfers are like, man, I really can hit this 6-iron, but like 7 and 5 are just like a miss. I don't know.
I've always loved when I meet somebody that has one club that they hate. Like, I hate my 8-iron. You're like, wait, what? How do you hit an 8-iron? It's the same thing.
Oh, man, that
the exact same golf club as the one you have in 9 and 7. Max, when people are listening to this, you're going to be headed to Dallas, practice rounds and playing. Let's go, huh?
Let's go. Everybody, thank you so much for sticking with us with literally no content. We will have content. Shane, I to your sentiment, I appreciate all the thoughts. You know, you came up with Regrip. You had so many like perfect ideas to keep going. Cause I as much as I might have come up with some ideas, the top five favorite athletes was pretty low brow. top three cereals, that was pretty low brow. Like, I didn't come up with the good ideas. So it was cool that we actually somehow kept this thing going through this quarantine, but I am very much excited to come back and talk about a round of golf and then joke about a round of golf and then joke about things we saw, whether it be on TV or actually on site. So stoked. Thank you guys so much for sticking. sticking with us. We really appreciate it because I know as hard as it was for us to come out with this stuff, it must have been even harder to listen to it. So I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, I will quote a friend of yours, somebody you work with, who told you one day about halfway through quarantine, said, you know, I appreciate what you guys are doing. And I love the podcast, but I am really sick of listening to what Shane shot at Dobson Rand. Like, I'm ready for actual golf to return. I went, hey, I'm sick of talking about it. I'm ready for it as well. So we will be watching. We will be looking. We will be diving into Max's week. And, of course, come Monday, we'll have a full recap of whatever went down. And you know what? Let's make it a W, bro. Let's go.
Yeah. First week back, quarantine W. I'm in. Thank you, everybody. Wash your hands. I will talk to you next week.
Get a Grip with Max Homa and Shane Bacon is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.